eyes to see. Give us your heart, Lord, for the lost and for the hurting. We need you. Spirit of God, come. In Jesus' name, amen. Prepare our hearts to worship with a prayer. Amen. Those of us that have come in this morning that feel shaken, that that feel anxious, that feel afraid, Lord, I just release the peace and the shalom of God over hearts and minds. Lord, we thank you that you are a strong fortress, that you are a hiding place for us, that your name is faithful, that your name is true. And Lord, we just bless you and we honor you. And Lord, we thank you for a good report for Bonnie Williams. God, to have the lung cancer that she has and to live this long, God, that's a testimony to you. Lord, we thank you for drugs. We thank you, God, for doctors. And Lord, that you are the ultimate healer and it's all ultimately from you. And so, Lord, we bless Bonnie. We pray strength on her in Jesus' name. And we just thank you that that tumor is shrinking. And we just say, more, Lord, more, Lord, in Jesus' name. We bless Bonnie, and we thank you, God, for your healing in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for Danny Kirk. We thank you, Lord, that he has had no fever for over 24 hours. And we speak strength to Danny, that infection in his body to go in Jesus' name. And Lord, we bless him. Strength in Jesus' name. We pray for Janet's brother, Joe. God's strength on Joe in Jesus' name. Healing and Lord, your mercy on him in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for Henry and how you've blessed him and the Lord for how you've just helped that palate and from where he was when he was born to now, we just thank you. Lord, we pray that his speech, Lord, you would help with that in the name of Jesus, that you would help with the swallowing. But Lord, we thank you for how far he's come. And Lord, it gives us faith for healing to come. And so, Lord, we just bless Henry, and we thank you for him in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for Don, back surgery this Thursday. God, we ask your grace and your mercy on him. Help, Jesus. We thank you for the psalm that says that you are an ever-present help in time of trouble. And Lord, we just speak peace, your mercy, your healing over Don in Jesus' name. Pray, Father, for Darren Snyder's stroke. Lord, we speak to that body and we say, strength, that which is broken to mend, healing to come to Darren in Jesus' name. Father, bless him. Thank you that you are comforter, that you are Prince of Peace, that you are good. Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. That you hold all history in your hands. That you see us, Lord, you see us. And you're with us. And you're Emmanuel. And we thank you, Jesus. And we pray the prayer of Jesus that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father, we thank you for these tithes, these gifts, and these offerings. We offer it up as worship unto you. And Lord, we give it to you. I pray, Lord, you bless the givers with joy, and you would give wisdom in the use of it. All of the funds, Lord, we just ask you for wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing the Gloria Patri. Thank you.
according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed.
Saints. good to be with you all this morning. It's a pleasure and a privilege, and in part because I've heard April teach and preach before, and man, God has gifted her, and so I know that I have some big shoes to fill this morning, and so if y'all would just pray with me, pray for me, so we all don't leave disappointed this morning, that would be awesome. God is going to show up, and I trust that, I believe that, but if God doesn't show up, we're all in trouble. So, as we get started here this morning, my prayer and my hope, my aim this morning is really that we would look at the Word of God, and that you'd hear some stories of what God is doing around the world. In Revelation, it says that we overcome the evil one by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so part of what I want to do this morning is just encourage you with some testimonies from around the world, what God is doing. But also that we would all just be encouraged, encounter God, and that we would walk out of this room looking a little more like Jesus than when we got here. So it's to that end, I'm going to read from Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I'll start in verse 24, read to the end, but we're going to focus in, and you can see it up there. 127 is kind of the main point we're gonna look at. But Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, and it says this. It says, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known. The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me." Let's pray. God, we pray that you would bless and that you would just show up, Father. Would you be here with us this morning? Would your Spirit come and guide us and teach us and encourage us and give us a sense of what it is that you're doing around the world, what it is that you're doing here in DuQuoin, and what it is that you want to do here in this room, in our hearts and in our minds. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. During the war at the end of the late 1990s, Mustafa Zaya was imprisoned by Serbian forces. He was one of the lucky prisoners, later being forcibly displaced rather than being summarily executed. He was made to leave his country in the ethnic cleansing at the direction of Serbian leader Slobodan Milosevic. And he fled his hometown of Mitrovica to Albania, to a refugee camp there, unaware of what had happened to his wife and children, afraid that they, like many others in that time and in that place, had been killed. And he was going around and he was begging, he was pleading with people, "Have you seen my wife? Have you seen my kids? Do you know where my family is? Do you know where my son is? Do you know where my daughter is?" And he was pleading, and Abby, if you'd switch the slides. Peter Turnley is a famous photojournalist, and he took a picture that really became emblematic for the war in Kosovo. He saw Mustafa going around and pleading in this refugee camp, and he took a picture, and if it comes up, it's okay. If not, it's okay too. There, he took this picture. This is Mustafa, and he was searching and begging and pleading for his kids, and he snapped this picture. It became emblematic of the war and the suffering that people there had experienced. confidence and the longing and the hope. And it's an image to me of hope hanging on by a thread. And in fact, Kosovar Albanians had experienced over 500 years of oppression from the Ottoman Empire until 1999. The Albanian people of Kosovo had been under some other ruler. And generations of this kind of hopelessness had really, this place has been just run over. It's in the confluence of some of the great empires of the world, and there have been so many wars throughout the Balkans. So for those that might not remember their sixth grade geography class, I've got a map. I know April said she posted a picture of a map as well. Maybe it's the same one. So it might be a little hard to see, but you can kind of see Italy there on the left, right? Italy is the boot at the southern part of Europe. Most people can pick that out on a map. If the boot kicks straight backwards, it would go across the Adriatic Sea and through Albania and then hit us there in Kosovo. So Kosovo is about 1.8 million people, and that number is decreasing all the time because people are leaving. They want to get out. Unemployment is 35%. So for context, in the U.S. right now, it's between 3 and 4%. There it's 35%. Among youth and young adults, it's 65%. So people are hopeless. They've experienced war, they've experienced oppression, and as we look and pray for the people, it's hopelessness is the prevailing theme. They're 96% Muslim, 92% ethnically Albanian, so we've learned to speak Albanian, and Megan's got a much better accent than I do, so she speaks really well, and I speak a lot, so I try to make up for my bad accent with just saying more words. It doesn't help. But Kosovo is actually really small. So the next slide is a relative picture of Kosovo. So it'll be really hard to see. So that's Kosovo laid over southern Illinois. And so if you see kind of here at the bottom, right, there's Ducoyne is right there. That is where our city is. Our city is Prizren. So from It's about from Murphy, Murfreesboro, up to Vandalia, and then from like O'Fallon to Fairfield. That's the size of the country. So if you're curious and you want to see that, play around with that, it came from, I think it's called the true size of or something.com. That's a small country, a beautiful country, a mountainous country with wonderfully hospitable people. Just amazing, amazing people. People that absolutely love America. Like, so much so that it makes me feel uncomfortable sometimes. I have people randomly buy me coffee at coffee shops because I'm American. Like, it's 50 cents. I can afford my own coffee. And no, I, out of respect for America, let me buy your coffee. They particularly love Bill Clinton. And for those that remember the late 90s, okay, you'll recall Bill Clinton, Madeleine Albright, talking NATO into airstrikes against Serbia. That's why, but Mother Teresa is a cultural hero. She was ethnically Albanian. She grew up in Macedonia, what's today northern Macedonia. But people from Prizren, our city, claim that she was born there. She was born in the Prizren region at that time. And so they love Mother Teresa, and they love Bill Clinton. And the main intersection in the capital city is Mother Teresa Avenue and Bill Clinton Boulevard. They have a 12-foot statue of Bill Clinton right beneath probably a 50-foot poster of Bill Clinton's face. And my favorite little piece of American trivia there is right around the corner from that, there is a women's boutique called Hillary that sells pantsuits. Yeah. So when we moved there, we're often greeted with a lot of surprise. Like, you're an American and you live here, and we lived in a small town before we moved to Prizren at the beginning of the year. And people would, the most common question we get is, why? Why are you here? Why would you want to be here? We all want to leave. It's like, it's my dream to go to America, and you as an American left the U.S. and came and moved to Kosovo. amazing. It's hospitable. It's good food. It's like a mix of Italian and Mediterranean food with a bunch of fresh produce. And you can eat for days. They have bread for days. I love bread. It's so good. And there, they actually, the word that they use for, like, have you eaten lunch? They don't say, have you eaten lunch or dinner? They say, have you eaten bread? It's my kind of people. But that's not just why I moved there. I do think there's hope in the future of Kosovo. I think there are beautiful things. I think there's a lot to love about this country. But that's not why I'm there. I'm there because I believe in Jesus. And I believe that, as Paul says, that he is our hope. That Christ in us is the hope of glory. And so we live there with a team. I got a picture of our team. This is actually in our living room. We moved into this house about 9 months ago. So obviously we have not had time to put up any pictures or anything, just white walls everywhere. But this is our team, and we're doing house church. And we actually have 8 kids on our team. Well, 9. I don't know if you noticed, Megan is a little bit pregnant. Just a little bit, she says. Yeah. So we have little man who's due on Christmas Day coming along. And so we're excited about that. But this is our team, and we worship together, we live together, we work together. And we have all these kids, which are the next picture, and those are Esme's good friends hanging out in our yard. And we love this team because we get to live together in community. And that, you know, Jesus saying, like, they'll know that you're my disciples by the way you love one another. When you have a team like the team that we have, that becomes really easy. Really easy. They're just easy to love. They're awesome people. And we're blessed to have them. So that's kind of the context a little bit. The next picture is some of our team, and actually my parents. They're dead center, and we're at my friend Byram's house. And so Byram is a pretty successful business guy. He's got a concrete plant, about 20 employees, and his house is there in the background in the top right corner, I guess. And that's him all the way to the right. Byram and Jula are some of our best friends in Kosovo. He's probably my best friend in Kosovo, and we get to have all these awesome conversations. He's a Muslim. And, you know, Kosovo is 96% Muslim, but they're really high, what we would call high identity, but low practice. That means it's very important to them that they're Muslim. I was born a Muslim. I will die a Muslim. I'm a Muslim. My grandma was a Muslim. What does that mean for you? When's the last time you've been to a mosque? Oh, I'm not that kind of Muslim. I'm not the kind that actually, like, goes and prays 5 times a day. Those guys are weird. That's literally what people have said to me. So, you know, it makes you think of, like, some Christians, right, in our area. Like, I'm a Christian, I was born a Christian, I'll die a Christian. What does that mean? When's the last time you've, like, read the scriptures or spent some time in community or been on your face before the Lord? Well, that's not that kind of Christian. Those people are weird. Watch out for them. That's the idea. So, but Byram is a little bit more high practice. So he prays, and he goes to the mosque. One of his best friends is an imam, and we get to have these really cool conversations about life and politics and religion and grace, and what does grace look like, and who is God, and how should we think about God, and family, and the future of Kosovo. And maybe a year and a half ago, Byram's brother passed away. His brother was in his late 40s, had some issues with addiction and just some other stuff going on. And we had this conversation at a coffee shop, and we were talking about just life. And as I went around and, you know, went to Byram's, had some other family members pass away, and the way they do funerals there is different. So you show up at people's houses, and you sit for like 5 or 10 minutes, and then you basically say, like, I'm really sorry, condolences. And then if you're Muslim, you'll say a phrase that's a mix of Arabic and Albanian, and the phrase is inshallah, Jeanette, which means, like, inshallah is like God willing. Like, if God wills, they'll go to paradise. And it's a statement that is more of a wish and a prayer than it is hope. statement that's, I hope, you know, if God decides, if God's not whimsical today, then he'll be in paradise. But that's not the hope that Paul is talking about here in Colossians. That's not the hope that we have in following Jesus. For by Ron, this hope is not a certainty. But for the believer, hope is not wishing on a star. It's trusting in an unfailing person. Spurgeon says of this passage, he says, Christ in you means Christ possessed. Christ in all his power. Christ reigning. Christ filling you. As followers of Jesus, our hope is not blind optimism. It's not pointless sentimentality, but the divine paying a down payment in our lives, a deposit in our hearts. The Spirit is called a guarantee, a down payment, a deposit for us to know that God's promise is sure. That Christ in us means us in glory, as surely as God lives. And as I got to talk with Byram about that and about my brother passed away when he was in high school. When I was in high school, he died from cancer, and we got to have this conversation about what was it like to lose a brother and a best friend? And what does it mean to have hope in the resurrection of Jesus? And to be able to have that conversation and then, like Paul, say, that's why I'm here. This is why I toil. This is why I become a minister. And I really don't like the word, the translation minister there, right? It's slave. It's bond servant. This is why I do what I do, because I have hope on who Jesus is. But it's not just hope for the afterlife, right? Amen? Right? Our trust in Jesus affects our lives. Yes? Do we believe that? Okay. Right? Our hope in Jesus, and this next picture is of me and some guys after playing soccer. I still think I'm 22. I am not. Not. I run around with these guys and I get very tired. And then after I'm very tired, I get very sore. Y'all experience that? Like, as you get older, it's like it doesn't hurt any worse, it just hurts longer. Yeah. So playing soccer with these guys, it's we're actually having this conversation about business afterwards. So I just finished my MBA because I believe that, you know, there's a lot of opportunities in Kosovo for business. And so we're talking about business and future, and all of these guys that are in that larger picture, young guys in their 20s, would leave at the drop of a hat if they got a visa. They have no hope for their future in Kosovo. So when we talk about hope, it's, you know, that I'm sure this is a passage you're probably familiar with, right? Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. A lot of times we leave off the next few about how if we seek God, then we'll find him, you know, but there's this idea that God has a hope for us in this life, and that it's hope, like Romans talks about, that doesn't mean that there's no suffering, right? And we've heard stories of some illness this morning, some testimonies of prayer requests that would say, life can be hard. Suffering happens. Right? And Paul says in Romans chapter 5 that we have hope, that suffering produces patience, and patience produces perseverance. Perseverance, hope. And it's hope that will not put us to shame. It's hope that doesn't put us to shame. When I talk to Gens, the guy there in the middle, and he tells me about how he just wants to move to the States. He went on an exchange trip with us, and we took him to Atlanta and spent a month there. And he just wants to move. He just wants to move back. And he stayed with some people that have some money, right? So he saw this picture of the U.S. And as we talk to other guys who haven't been to the U.S. and we talk to them about it, it's like they think that when they get off the plane, if they get a visa and they come here, they get off the plane, and someone will meet them at the airport with a bag of money, the keys to a Mercedes, and a new house. That's what America is. And when I talk to them about how, like, we have homeless people in America, it's mind-boggling to them. Because they don't have that there. Right? If they put their early in the season how they always have somebody like me who can't sing. And they show up, and they're like, man, I hope they pick me. And then they get up there, and they belt out some sort of something that resembles music, but is not. And you're just like, no one ever told you you're bad at this. It would be much better for all of us if someone had just said, no, that's not hope. I don't know what that is, but that's not hope. That's hope that puts you to shame. When we trust in something that's not the Lord, it's hope that puts us to shame. This next set of pictures is of Megan's ultrasound. That's Little Man right there. So my sister thinks like 3D ultrasounds are really creepy. So I think they're cool. I think it's pretty amazing that I can see my kid's face while he's still in utero. Little Man there, if the highlighted circled arrow is of his left arm. And so he has what's known as a limb reduction, which means essentially his left arm did not develop below the forearm. So he's got to about here. He has right now about 3 centimeters worth of left forearm. No left hand. So we're thanking God for 5 fingers and 10 toes. We went and we got this ultrasound taken by a fetal medicine specialist, fetal medical doctor. What's she called? Yes, a fetal medicine doctor. I don't know words. In Kosovo. And we'll call her Teresa. And we went there and we got this. And we had actually, no, we had seen on an ultrasound at Megan's OB, because you get ultrasounds at every appointment. We knew that this was the case. And had a few days to process it. And we went and she was doing the ultrasound and she looked a little, I don't know, taken aback maybe. And she was explaining things. Esme was there and Esme was asking questions. Like, that's my baby brother's arm and that's my baby brother's knee and that's my baby brother's head. And when's he going to come? And all these sorts of things. And what's that? And why are they doing that? And she's just asking questions and I'm sitting there explaining it to her. And Teresa tells us, like, he doesn't have a left hand and left forearm is really short. And we're like, yeah, we know, that's okay. And, you know, it'll be okay. He's going to learn how to do everything else anybody else can do. He'll just do it differently. And Teresa was shocked. And we wound up sitting there talking to her for an hour after the ultrasound was over. For an hour. We thought it was the end of her day and she was just having a conversation with us. Turns out she had other patients and there was just a line growing in the waiting room. And she said, I am so surprised by the way you've reacted. And we're thinking, why? This is who we are. This is what we do. It's like, you know, there's a problem. You fix it. You face it. If you can't fix it, you live with it. You just keep moving forward. And she said, no, that's not how things work here. And she's a doctor. She was trained in the UK, went back to Kosovo, and she said that all over the Muslim world. And Jesus is showing up and giving hope and speaking, and just the fact that, like, we're having a son that we're excited about. There's nothing wrong with him. You know, like, God's knitting him together. He's going to be great. It's awesome. And that Christ in us, like, I don't think that reaction is weird. But Christ in us, like, I walking through the world with this worldview, with this lens of Jesus living in and through me. And to be able to do that and to walk through that is just part of who we are as followers of Jesus. But I think there's a quote by Bob Goff that really sums up some of the way that we see the world. And he says, hope doesn't go to sleep just because it's dark outside. It lights a candle and stays up waiting for the rest of the story. Friends, we have hope. We have hope in the future, but we have hope in this life as well. And regardless of the suffering, but the, I think the cool thing is that when we got to know Teresa, she already had part of the story. And she's awake. She's awake waiting for the rest of it. And we get to be a part of sharing that story with her. The Holy Spirit is at work revealing himself to people in showing up in dreams, showing up in coffee shops, showing up in doctor's offices. And Paul says, that's why I'm a servant. That's why I'm a slave. That's why I toil and I labor, not with my own energy, but with Christ's energy that he works in me. So, what does this have to do with you? That's a lot of stories about Kosovo and stories that you may or may not relate to. I think the question is, where are you lacking hope? Where do you need Christ to break in? What part of your life, as Paul talks about, is not yet mature in Christ? Maybe you're dealing with addiction. Maybe somebody in your family is dealing with addiction. Christ in you is the hope of glory, the hope of freedom, the hope of maturity. Maybe it's like so many friends that we have in Kosovo. It's a financial thing. I know a lot of people feel buried right now. Lack hope. Christ in us reminds us that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. God is faithful to feed the sparrows and clothe the lilies. How much more does he love and care for you? Maybe it's about calling or future or health. God has a, do you believe what he says, that he has a plan for you? He has a hope for you, a future for you, that you're here for a reason, that you're here to be a blessing to others and to minister to others and to be a bondservant to the gospel for the sake of your community. Maybe you've lost a loved one and the grief is crushing. Friends, Christ in you reminds us that yes, we grieve. Death is painful. And it bugs me when people pretend that it's not. But we don't grieve as those that have no hope. The grave has lost its power. Death has lost its sting in Christ. Maybe it's not about your hope at all, but it's about being a messenger of hope. Do you bring hope in the conversations you have with other people? Is it you living, or is it Christ living in you? When your neighbors are struggling with addiction or finances or health or aging parents or aging themselves or loss or grief or worries about the economy or politics or any other form of suffering, are you bringing hope to those conversations? Oftentimes, I think if we're being honest, we'll say that we do the exact opposite of that, right? Rather than being uplifting, we get in a game of this, like, one-upsmanship. Oh, you're suffering? Well, let me tell you about how much more I'm suffering. Oh, you think gas prices are bad? Well, let me tell you how I know the entire sky is falling and the economy is going to collapse. You think you know what suffering is? Let me tell you about my aches and pains and suffering. That's not Christ in us. Christ brings hope. Christ in us reminds those around us that God is present. Now, Christ is familiar with suffering. He doesn't avoid suffering. doesn't say suffering doesn't come. But he says that Christ, that God is present even in our suffering. And it's this hope that we have is not something that will put us to shame, but it's hope in a God that never fails. Hope in a God who is pursuing us. That picture of Mustafa Zaya.
Favorite quotes, and it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ proved
worst thing is not the last thing. And we serve a God of all hope. We're going to sing it's maybe a modern day hymn. It's not really a chorus. It's more of a modern day hymn. Shine, Jesus, shine. And I encourage you as you sing that, if you've lost hope and you just need encouragement today, just say, Jesus, I need you to shine in my heart. And our prayer is Jesus would shine. He would shine in Des Moines. He would shine throughout Southern Illinois. He would shine through the Balkans. He would shine because he's good and he's faithful and he's coming back for a bride that's made herself ready. And let's make ourselves ready and get our hearts encouraged because he is Emmanuel. He's with us. Let's stand and sing, Shine, Jesus, Shine. we bless Jonathan and Megan and Esme and the little baby in utero. God, we thank you for the hope that even in the ultrasound and then that doctor's office, the hope that that baby was able just to proof of hope. And Lord, we thank you for the gospel going forth. And we say more, Lord. We pray open doors for Jonathan and Megan and Esme and little baby Jesus. You would open up doors more, Lord, more. Pray more glory, more power on them, Lord, as they witness, as they shine for you. And I pray that for each one of us, Jesus, that we would shine for you. Lord, oh, how our nation needs, they need you. Lord, they need hope. And Lord, I pray that any that are today, that are just broken, and they need hope, Lord, that they would just be filled. They would be filled with your Spirit. Lord, fill us with hope. And as we started this service, God, I just pray it now. May the God of all hope fill us with all joy and peace and believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that all of us, that we would abound in hope. For your glory, Jesus, we pray it. Amen. If you'd like to give to Jonathan and his ministry, I'd welcome you to do that. Come up. If you have any questions, please feel free to talk to them. And we just want to bless them in Jesus' name.